It has been an interesting few weeks, has it not? A lot going on, a lot not going on. Concerns on every front. We don't know when it's going to end. A lot happening, a lot in the news. All week long I've been trying to figure out what message I should bring today in light of everything that we're dealing with. As I reflected on it, I decided to go to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapters 1 and chapters 5 and 6. I want to talk about the Battle of Jericho. Joshua chapter 1 and chapters 5 and 6. I think as I read this passage, it helped me to kind of get a focus on what I need to do and what I believe as a congregation we need to do. Share with me today as we look at the Word of God, starting in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 4. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you, the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. The Israelites, as you know, had been in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, roughly. And then they had been let out of Egypt by Moses, God's servant, as they had come to truly being God's people. And God promised them, as long as they kept His word and kept Him and served Him, then He would take care of them. As they traveled along, they got to the edge of the promised land. They sent in those spies, remember? And when they came back with the report, 10 of them gave a report like, the people over there in that land are big and bad, and they're going to hurt us if we go in there. We're going to lose any free battle we got. There was such a negative report. Joshua and Caleb gave a great report saying, hey, that's our land. God says it's our land. God's going to give it to us. Let's do it. The people believed the 10, and therefore their faith failed them. And because of that, God said, you're not going in. So for 40 years, they wandered around in the desert area there, in the wilderness, and that type of area. They just wandered around until finally all that generation had died off. Now, they're ready to enter the promised land. And God says here to Joshua, He gives them the mission. I want you to go into this land that I have promised you. This is going to be your land, and your mission is to go across this Jordan River, get into that land, and every place that you step, every place of foot your footprints are, that's going to be your land. That's the land that was promised to Isaac and Abraham and all of them down through the line that they would have this place, and Jacob, and now they're allowed to go into this promised land. They're right here ready to do it. The mission, clear-cut mission, go in and occupy the land. Now, I don't know how much they had heard from the generation that died off about how fortified the cities were and how tough and strong the people were that they were going to be facing. I don't know how much they heard. But either way, this is a major undertaking. They have got to cross over and occupy a land and make sure they drive out all the people that are in that land. They probably had some feelings of insecurity about that. Maybe their faith was a little bit weak. I don't know for sure. But I know that Joshua gets an assurance here from God. He understands the mission, but he gets a special assurance. Look at chapter 1, verse 5. He tells Joshua, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You got the mission, and then you got God's assurance. God is going to be with you every step of the journey. Everything you face, everyone you deal with, every calamity that tries to come upon you, God is going to be right there to help see you through it. That is a major assurance. So, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we got the mission and we've got the assurance. Now let's turn over to chapters 5 and 6. Go to the first part of verse 13. Chapter 5, the first part of verse 13 says there, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho," they have crossed the Jordan River at this point. In chapter 1, they had not crossed yet. Now they have crossed the river. They are taking a look at all of the people and all the things around them. And one of the first things they run into is this big city of Jericho. Double fortified walls. Tall walls. Be hard to take. Especially by a group of people that don't have ladders to put up there for siege purposes to be able to climb the walls. They don't have the big fancy catapults to try to throw big rocks and smash the walls. They don't have all the fancy armor. But they got God. But they don't have that other stuff. So this is a major obstacle they're facing. And I'm pretty sure Joshua's thinking about how it's going to get done. He's got complete confidence in God. He's been assured by God. But he still has to figure out, how do we get inside of that city? How are we going to get it done? That's a major obstacle in the way. Well, he gets some instructions. Take a look at chapter 5, the latter part of verse 13. It says here, I'll go ahead and pick up with the first part. "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." This man meets Joshua there in this, wherever Joshua is standing, whether he's on a road or whether he's off to the side praying. But God sends either an angel or somehow or another, God has appeared directly to Joshua. So he then reassures Joshua that he is with him. He then goes ahead and gives some instructions here. As we continue on, looking at chapter 6 and following, verse 1 and following. "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho unto your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horn in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in." Kind of interesting instructions, don't you think? Here's this big, huge, mammoth city, reinforced, double walls. You figure it's going to take a while to take it. God says, "No, we're going to do this thing in 7 days, and here's how you're going to do it." They are not conventional war plans, that is for sure. But these are the instructions that he gets. Look at chapter 6, verse 2 again. And it says there, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with his king and his fighting men." Joshua is told right then and there, "Hey, look, if you got any doubts about whether you can take the city, God says, I have delivered it already to you. We just got to work out the mechanics of how we're getting this done. And the way we're going to do this is you're going to march around one day, march around the second day, march around the third day, right on 6 days of it, one time. Then on the 7th day, you're going to go around 7 times. And when the trumpets are sound, the loud cry is heard, the walls will be coming down." So that's the instructions that are delivered to him. He has to go back and tell the people, this is the way we're going to do it. He has to line it all up and get it done. So what does he do? He carries out the instructions just as God told him. Look at chapter 6. Go to verse 12 this time. "Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord, where all the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, while the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Did you notice? Here were your instructions. What did they do? Exactly what the instructions said. They did exactly what God wanted them to do. And because they carried out God's instructions to the letter, they demonstrated their faith. And because God was with them, God caused the walls to come tumbling down. And they got the victory that they sought. Look at chapter 6, verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so that every man charged straight in, and they took the city. This was the first major battle in conquering the land. To show you how effective this was overall as the beginning and how it's carried on to completion, go back to chapter 5. Go to verse 12. And it says there, the manna stopped the day after. This is after they have entered the promised land. Stopped the day after, and they ate fruit from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate of the produce of Canaan. That year, you can see how God has delivered. The battle was won, but God had already lined it all up, and they were going to eat from the produce of that land for that whole year and beyond. They got victory. They understood the mission. They understood God was with them. They saw an obstacle in their way. They listened to God's instructions. They put God's instructions into action. And God gave them the victory. They triumphed over that obstacle. So, how did this help us today? How does this help me today in all that we're facing? How does it help you in all that you're facing? How does it help us as a people, as a church? Well, I think we need to first of all understand we got to stick to the mission. The mission that was given to us, I see it as twofold. One, we got to make disciples. We go out there and we teach about Jesus. We baptize people into Jesus. And then we teach them to obey all that Jesus commanded. This is what we're supposed to be doing, carrying out that mission. A second part of the mission is we're supposed to personally be growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be stretching ourselves and each day becoming more and more like the Master. Two things going on. Make disciples, be a disciple. Now, that's our mission. And as we carry out that mission, we're going to face a lot of things. So we need some assurance. I need to know that this mission that I'm doing, that God is with me on this. Well, those of you familiar with Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, the Great Commission has just been told. And Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always. To the very ends of the age, I am with you." Jesus promises to be with His people no matter what. So we have the assurance as we go out making disciples for the Master, as we go out becoming a disciple more and more every day, we got our assurance that no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're dealing with, Jesus is with us. Now, we are going to face some obstacles, are we not? Right now, the church is dealing with this virus mess, trying to figure out how do we teach, how do we preach, how do we serve, how do we get people working still for the Lord, how do we deepen and become more and more like the Master, how do we get the mission done? We got to stick to the plan, go and make disciples, share our faith, whatever we're at. I appreciate some, for example, will take a message on Facebook about what the church is doing, and then they will share it with all on their page, with all their friends. They're doing what they can to share. They're also working the phones and talking to people, encouraging people, strengthening people. They're relaying prayer requests from others to the elders, to the ministers, to other people that can pray. They're doing what they can during this time. We're going to face opposition. People are going to oppose us as Christians every step of the way, not just during this time with the virus, but people are going to oppose us. They're going to try to stamp out Christianity. There's nothing new. You read the book of Revelation, there's a battle going on the whole time. They do not want us preaching and teaching Jesus. Right now, it's kind of being tolerated because of what's going on. But the day will come when they'll put pressure on us to be quiet, to hush, to not teach the values that are presented in the Word of God. We're going to face opposition. Some of us are dealing with our particular Jericho, our particular obstacle is fear. I got some fear. I'm afraid if I tell somebody about Jesus, they're going to make fun of me, or I might not get a promotion at work, or some neighbor may not like me, whatever it may be. We got some fear. Satan has put fear into us at times. We got to overcome that by being bold, by being courageous, and sharing our faith, stepping out more. When this mess is over and we start back up in the building here, we need people to get back into their roles of teaching and serving in every way possible. Some of you are still been so fearful. I don't ever want to teach. I don't want to do this. I don't want that. Man, you ought to be studying God's Word right now. You ought to be praying that God will raise you up. You might be another Gideon that He needs. You may be another Jonah He needs. You may be another Moses He needs. You may need another Paul He needs. Just keep studying. Keep growing so that when the time comes, you can cast that fear out. Keep working on personal growth. But also we know that some of us deal with some struggles. They're not fear, they're not opposition, maybe not directly related to the virus. We deal with some things. A husband and wife are not getting along. Parents and a teenager are battling. Economically, I've lost work, I've lost hours. I don't know where my next paycheck's coming from. I don't know if I can pay the bills. Some of us are dealing with family members because we're Christians and they're not. They don't want a whole lot to do with us. And this was even before this virus. But we're dealing with things. Each one of us has our own personal Jericho. As a church, we have our Jerichos, of course, that's in the way of us getting the mission done. But each one of us has our personal ones. We need to make sure, in order to get rid of this building, this Jericho, this problem in our life, whatever it may be, in order to get rid of this, then we need to listen to the instructions of God and put them into practice. What are some of the instructions? Well, I've already covered a few. Go. Go teach. Go share Christ. For those of you that think you can't do it with your mouth, be such a Christian person that they can see that you've been with Jesus, that you're hanging out with Jesus. Let them see that by your words, in your conversation, your normal conversation. You may not say, "Hey, I want to tell you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." But you can conduct yourself with your speech in such a way they can tell that you're trying to be pure, you're trying to be righteous. Do so with your actions, the way you treat your fellow man, the way that you post a message on social media, the way you conduct yourself in any environment. Let them see that you truly have been with the Master. And He says, go and teach and live. Live such a way. Bear fruit. Testify. Testify that Jesus is in fact raised from the dead. These are some instructions that we got from Him. To reinforce these instructions, we are told in the Word of God, trust God. Put your trust in Him. No matter which way you see this world going right now, put your trust in God. God will deliver. God will provide. God will look after us. Take your concerns to Him in prayer. Find some good time to pray right now. Some of you are still working, of course. Many of you have had your hours cut back. Some of you are not working at all. Use this time. Open up those Bibles and do some serious Bible reading. And then wear out those knees praying. Keep looking for opportunities to pray. People that need to be prayed about and for. Do these things. Our mission is to make disciples. Our mission is to be a disciple. We have the assurance that God is going to be with us no matter what. And all these obstacles we're going to be facing out there, God has given us instructions on how to deal with them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your wife. Respect your husband. Raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Be a good neighbor. Be a good friend. Pray for your enemies. Study the Word. Share it. All these things need to be done. But overall, we need to trust that God is going to be victorious. We're told that we will win. If we do the mission that we've been called to do, if we realize that He's with us every step of the way, if we'll put into practice the instructions He's given us, we will in fact win. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10, in the letter to the church there at Smyrna, He says here to the church, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." We will be victorious, and we will receive the personal crown from Jesus. We need to make sure that we understand we have to overcome these obstacles by His instructions of how to do it, knowing He's with us every step of the way, but we do it all with the idea that the mission is in focus. Make disciples, be a disciple, even in the midst of all that you're facing right now. That's what I walk away from this passage today. I see our mission. I see the assurance. I see the fact that He's instructed me to do certain things. And if I do them, I see the fact that I'm going to win. I'm going to be victorious. I hope and pray you see the same and that you will put these things into practice as well. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations, I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. And we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined your fellowship here, say, "Hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus as a believer. I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship." Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.